All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn. What's up?
What's up? Now, listeners, I know what you're thinking. It's not a holiday and there's a Penn Cinema Podcast?
It's weird.
What's going on?
But we decided we're going to go ahead and have the podcast anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So
just to see what happens.
Before we get into some big stuff here.
Some hard-hitting news.
We need to talk about some amazing things that happened specifically yesterday.
Wow.
Where a Mr. Penn Ketchum ran, 50,000 miles?
Right.
Am I reading this
ballpark
right?
Ballpark it. Yeah. Okay. You know, in the right ballpark.
tell me how this went down.
Well, we had a lot of laughs because I ran my first 50K trail race.
50,000.
Right. 50,000 mile trail race. And it was kind of a hoot because you do six laps, but after the first lap, I realized, so 50K is supposed to be like, I think 32 miles or 31.6 or something like that, right? But after the first lap, I looked at my watch and I had done 5.9 miles. So it ends up being 35.6 mile long course.
Oh.
So I feel like I got a little bit tricked. You know, it's like that old expression, a marathon is 26.2 miles, because 26.3 would be crazy. Right? Like 26.2 is fine. 26.3, come on.
Come on now.
It's craziness. So I signed up for this race. I was really anxious to see if I could do it. I mean, I guess I had a pretty high degree of confidence that I could do it, but I wanted to explore it. I wanted to see like what it was like and how I reacted to it. And trail race is totally different than anything I've ever done. It's much more laid back. And this particular race, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. This particular race was the Vegan Power 50K.
Wow.
So we drive up to the race, to the start line, and Amy immediately pulls out a bunch of hard-boiled eggs and starts chowing down.
Now's your only opportunity.
Right. So it was really fun, but I mean, it was great, and everybody on there was sort of talking about veganism and all this stuff. But the trail run was really great, so I did it very predictably. I did my first lap really slow because that's what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. See, because it's a long race, so you want to really make sure to pace yourself. So my first lap was really slow. Second and third lap were super fast. Fourth lap, I started to like, whew, like, we're still doing this? You know, like, this is really long. And the fifth lap was just suffering. Like, and it's hard if you're not into endurance sports. You don't fully comprehend how wonderful that is, but it's like real, real suffering. Like it shrinks your whole world down because you have no problems in your entire life except putting that foot in front of the other foot and not tripping, falling flat on your face, which if you want to hear that story, somebody should ask me, like, because yes, I did trip and fall and I was laid out flat on the trail while these female trail runners went rolling by me, you know. But yeah, so it really sort of shrinks your whole, you have no problems except for how bad your legs and your feet hurt. And then the sixth lap was, you know, you get that adrenaline of like, oh my God, I'm going to do this. Like, all I have to do is run back to the finish line. And so that was my mentality. And my sixth lap ended up being pretty fast. It was my third fastest loop. So that was, I was really happy with that. I was really happy because it showed that I could have the strength all the way through to the end. Because a lot of people sort of fizzled out and ended up walking their last. Now, don't get me wrong, on trail running, there's a lot of walking anyway. You're supposed to, it's sort of part of the culture. But yeah, I was really pleased with it. I had a lot of fun. Amy and Kayla came with me. We had a great time making fun of the vegans. Amy accuses me of being a secret vegan because I don't really, you know, do that stuff. But it was cool. It was really a great, it was just a great trip all the way. And it was up in New England, my old stomping grounds.
So Connecticut, was, right?
Yeah, well, Massachusetts.
All right.
Yeah.
Two things. One.
Yeah, talk to me.
Three things. 35 miles, right?
Right.
I work about 12 miles from my house.
Right.
Sometimes I just go to work and go home.
Right.
There are some days I don't drive my car as far as you ran yesterday. And then secondly, you ran 35 miles and you're just walking around today. And I'm like, I remember when I ran a mile for school. And the next day I was like, no, I can't do anything today. I ran yesterday.
No, you don't understand. I ran yesterday. It was pretty funny because we always complain that Amy walks really slow. So we're on our way home. We get out of the rest area, you know, and she starts walking in like to the rest area. And I'm like still trying to get out of the car. She's halfway to the restaurant and she turns around and there I am like your 90-year-old grandfather sort of hobbling through the parking lot. So it was great. It was like the first time that, you know, she was ever faster than me.
Wow. Mark it down in the books.
Yeah, man. There it is.
Cool. Well, some other great things to mark down in the books.
Yes.
Heavy hitting news. I know. Let's start off with some craziness here.
Ludie Lin?
Yeah, Ludie Lin. I don't know if you've heard of him because I certainly have not. Well, he's Marvel's top choice to play Shang-Chi. And while Donnie Yen, my boy from Ip Man, Intellectual Property Man,
yes.
is currently in consideration for an undisclosed supporting role. Now,
in what?
Shang-Chi.
Oh.
It's this martial arts
okay.
superhero movie
gotcha.
That Marvel's working on.
Okay. If you say so.
Look, before we started the show, I'm surprised you don't remember Shang-Chi, but then I remembered before the show, I mentioned how I'm going to go see Anna tonight, and you were like, man, I haven't seen that movie yet. And I'm like, wait a minute, you saw it and told me it was good.
You're the worst. You're the absolute worst. The show's not even like 3 minutes old, but you're already calling me out.
Yeah, what can I say?
Ludie Lin as Marvel's top choice for Shang-Chi is kind of like finding out your favorite football team is drafting some guy from like Rutgers that you never heard of, you know, and you try to get excited about it.
I heard he played.
Right. Right. I don't know. I mean, this movie and this news falls into the category of like, okay, cool. Let's see what the trailer looks like.
Yeah. That's the whole thing with this movie is just let's see what the trailer looks like. But I think they're kind of walking on eggshells here because if they make a wrong move, although they did really well with Aladdin cultural-wise, if they make the wrong move with this, they could find themselves with like a bunch of people backlashing on them.
Yeah, I think it's great to – I would love for Hollywood and specifically Disney and even more specifically Marvel – to get into the more of the martial arts, kung fu sort of genre in that world. And there's a lot of great stories to be told.
It's too bad that they messed up Iron Fist with the TV show. Yeah. They could have saved him for the movies. Maybe, you know, that stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know.
So what do you got for me?
Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Remember Hunger Games?
I do. Do I need to continue to remember Hunger Games?
Hunger Games prequel got a novel. There's a novel for the prequel to Hunger Games, and the book hasn't even been written yet. And Lionsgate, or maybe it's been written, but it hasn't been published. And Lionsgate already has the rights to make it a movie.
They don't play around.
No. So first of all, can we just take this moment to shout out to Lionsgate? I mean, here's a quiet studio that consistently puts out, in my opinion, great movies. I mean, they did Anna, which you're about to see, which I've already seen. I don't know if you remember.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I went to the trade screening a number of weeks ago. Yeah, it was really great. Reminded me of The Professional. But Lionsgate, they did Hunger Games, which is great. They sort of always seem – now, they do sometimes have movies that suck.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I guess everybody does. But the thing that I always say about Lionsgate is Lionsgate makes movies that people want to see. Like, they're not really caught up in Oscars or fancy pants or, like, billion-dollar superheroes. They're just sort of good, middle-of-the-road, solid, you know, movies that you want to see. So shout-out to Lionsgate.
I also feel like they're behind everything anymore.
Really?
But maybe that's because it's like you said, they're behind movies people want to see, and it just so happens I want to see the movies that they're behind.
Yeah, I think they're just sort of – I think they're quietly going about the business of being a great studio. They're not Disney. They're not even Warner Brothers, you know, but they're really a good studio, I think.
And one of the things with Lionsgate is when you see more of an edgy movie coming out that they're based on, you're like, okay, I know they're not afraid to to throw the punches.
Right.
So,
speaking of throwing punches.
Oh.
The Joker.
There's a movie?
You probably don't remember, but we watched a trailer
a
number of weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah. I even put the trailer on the front of our podcast screening of Booksmart.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. I remember
that. Was I
that.
There?
I forget. I don't know, David.
Perfect.
Were you?
Best response of the show.
So the Joker, I think we all knew it.
Yeah.
But it's confirmed it's going to come out R-rated.
I didn't even know this was a question.
Right.
It just, I mean, the trailer just reeks.
Reeks of R.
Reeks R.
Yeah. I hope, is there a chance that this film could go the wrong way?
Don't.
What?
Don't put that in my head. Because this trailer is so good. I said it before. I almost don't want the movie to ever come out.
Right.
I just want this to be the movie. It's just this trailer.
Because there's no way it can live up to the trailer.
Right. It's just so good. When trailer 2 comes out, that's going to be like,
ooh.
That's going to be when you kind of can make your hit or miss choice.
Right.
Like,
if I was in charge of that movie, I'd be terrified to release another trailer.
Or I'd be shilling out the money to the guy who made the first one to come back and do it again.
Right.
Yeah. Oof. Hey, so a source, you know, one of my many.
Favorite.
Yeah.
It's probably Pirate Dave.
Yeah, it's probably Pirate Dave. He's, you know, he's got all the info.
Right.
I've been informed that DC/Warner Bros. Is currently courting James Gunn to direct a new Justice League film.
How do you feel about that?
I don't care at all. Because Suicide Squad's not out yet. That's all there is to care about from DC.
Okay.
No, I don't know how I feel about this. DC's such a mess right now. Like, I just want to know what they're doing. Like, is there any cohesion to anything? Because, like, one minute they're rebooting. The next minute they're like, oh, we're rebooting, but it's all the same cast. Oh, forget Ben Affleck. It's now Robert Battenbat is playing him. You know.
But we're supporting Robert Battenbat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I'm supporting.
We're on record of, you know, being open-minded to this.
I don't know, man. James Gunn is good.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not denying that.
So let's just keep coming back to that.
Yeah. So if we trust James Gunn, then we got to trust Suicide Squad, because he's doing Suicide Squad, the new one, right?
Yep, yep.
So that's going to be the tell-all. Can he pull off a good Suicide Squad? With all the, like, everyone who's not in Dune is in Suicide Squad, basically.
Do we know much about this new Justice League film, or is this the first we're hearing about it?
This is the first that I think I've heard about it.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. If they did, like, a larger Justice League, like, but where it's not just the four main guys or whatever, it's just, like, a little bit bigger, that could be cool. I don't know. It's tough, man.
DC's got to get their shit together.
It's tough.
Meanwhile, Avengers is inching closer and closer. They're within $50 million of Avatar, and we got the big memo from Disney telling us about the re-release.
Okay.
I'm going to make an exception for Avengers because I love Avengers.
Yeah.
But typically, I get pissed off when the studio announces they're re-releasing a movie that I'm currently playing. Like, that makes me feel like I held on to a movie for too long.
Yeah.
But Avengers continues to take bank.
Well, last week we talked about this was the last week for Avengers.
Right.
And then, like, the next day you put on our Facebook page, you were like, hold up, it's going to play one more week.
Right.
Right. And then 2 days later, they're like, hold up, next week we re-release it. So before it's even done here, it's being re-released.
Right.
And they're like, there's going to be more footage.
Right.
was that ever a red herring? Because more footage just means there's stuff after the credits, apparently. And not even, like, stinger. Like, I don't know exactly what
Is that what they're saying?
The last I heard is that the extra footage is at the end of the is, like, extra end credit stuff. And that it's, like, either making of or something like that.
Well, and I also know they're doing a little tricky thing. So I posted on our Facebook page, hold up, we're going to play it one more week. And then, like, 5 minutes later, I got the memo from Disney saying we're re-releasing it with extra content.
Yeah.
And I kind of had the same reaction you did. Like, at first I was super excited, and then I realized it was a little bit of fluff. And one of the pieces they're doing is, I don't know if you remember, they had an opening night fan event.
Uh-huh.
And they had content in there that was just for the opening night fan event. And I think that's what they're doing, you know, as the release. So, for example, one of the things they're doing is this little montage of, like, thank you, Stan Lee.
I mean...
So I know you're a big Stan Lee fan.
But...
Even though he's a dick. He may be dead, but he's still a dick.
I mean, they did the tribute with Captain Marvel.
Right.
That's just not worth me going to the movies again for 3 hours. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say to this whole thing. Like, I love this movie. And it's not like Lord of the Rings when they re-released with the extended editions and it was like a different movie.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, it's the same movie. Here's the DVD special features. And I'm kind of like, just give me the Blu-ray. Like,
Here's where I stand on this. Once I held on to Avengers for another week,
yeah.
I was kind of thinking to myself, I'm going to try to hold on to this through the 4th of July.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I always feel like over a holiday weekend, people come to see, like, there's a lot, we get a lot of moviegoers who are not moviegoers.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm using the air quotes, so our listeners don't really have the benefit of where I put, where I put the air quotes, but you'll just have to figure it out. There's a lot of people, I think, around, like, on the 5th of July and during the day on the 4th of July, depending on the weather, who are going to come out and see movies who aren't really movie people, but they're like, whatever. They're bored. They're sick of their family already. Like, you know, like let's just do something. And when they're looking for what to see, they're not going to be savvy enough to know the difference between, like, Anna and The Dead Don't Die and even some of the, you know, Men in Black franchises. But they remember the news about Avengers.
Right.
So I did this with Captain Marvel. I held on to Captain Marvel one extra week to catch it through Memorial Day. And sure enough, it did a whole bunch of business on Memorial Day. And that's kind of what I was thinking about Avengers, that I would hold on to it over the 4th of July. So now what I think is that this extra push, whether it's fluff or not, or red herring or not, the extra push will definitely get some moviegoers who don't differentiate. So you're pretty savvy. You're going to sort of, but you're going to want to see this movie again anyway. So
right.
Now isn't this sort of just an excuse to come and do that? So yeah. I feel like it's a good move. I feel like I'm rooting for Avengers to push past Avatar. And if they need to do this little push, this little gimmick, game playing, you know, to squeeze out the last couple bucks, then I'm on board.
I like the idea. I mean, it's one of those things where you've got the weekend holiday, you got Spider-Man right at the same time. And I think that people who can't get into Spider-Man might go see Avengers, or people, when Spider-Man comes out, be like, oh, I should have gone to see Avengers. Like, there are people who probably just were like sitting on it and just didn't go.
And there are people who will come, they won't make plans and they'll come to see Spider-Man and it'll be sold out.
Yeah.
Or there'll only be one seat left all the way up in the front row,
mm-hmm.
and they'll go see Avengers because I'll schedule it 15 minutes after the big show of Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
which is what happened this weekend with Secret Life of Pets. I scheduled a bunch of Secret Life of Pets 15 minutes after a bunch of Toy Stories, and as the Toy Stories sold out, they just flowed right into Secret Life.
Now, here's my question. It's going for this money in the box office thing that to beat Avatar. How does this count to you as, like, I mean, I guess technically it counts, but, like, this re-release and to get the money?
It absolutely counts because it's still, because I'm not the only one that still has Avengers.
Okay, because places still have it.
It's absolutely still a first-run title. But the other thing is, I don't think it catches Avatar. I don't think it does $50 million in the next few weekends.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, think about it. I mean, that's a big number.
That is a big number.
I mean, Toy Story is the fourth biggest movie of the year, and that opened to $118 million. We're asking we're asking Avengers to squeeze out half of that on its ninth and tenth week of opening.
That's true.
A nice holdover should do a couple million bucks, but it's not going to do a couple million bucks for the next 25 weeks.
That's okay. No, you're right. That's, I guess these numbers are so big, sometimes you just don't even think about how big they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I want it to. I'm rooting for it, but I'll be surprised if it does.
Mm. Okay. All right. Well, moving on, since we're talking about Disney, Marvel, Disney and Pixar announced the title of Soul, their next major feature hitting theaters next summer, which, when in the world does the other Pixar movie come out? The fantasy one. I thought that was next summer.
Why can there only be one?
Well, that's what I think. It's like, how many? Is that this fall?
That's what we said last year when they started announcing Dumbo and, you know, there were so many Disney titles. We were like, how are they ever going to do this?
Yeah, but well, it just seems weird for Pixar to do that.
My question is, what is Soul about?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a cool looking logo.
I don't know.
And it's Pixar, so it looks cool, and you sort of feel like it's going to be a good movie, but I don't get it.
Well, you weren't too on board with whatever the other Pixar movie that's coming out.
Yeah, I was. Oh, yeah, that
weird. You were kind of on the fence.
Yeah, and then you talked me into it.
Fantasy.
Bastard.
What is that? I do what I can. I can't remember what it's called, but yeah.
It was like all the creatures, and it looked like a Dr. Seuss book, kind of.
Yeah, I even saw the trailer for it last night. I can't remember, but whatever. Cool, I guess. Wait for the trailer.
That's exactly the whole thing right there. Hashtag cool, I guess.
That's too true. Well, hit me with something that's going to rock my world.
All right, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sitting down?
Hold on. Now I'm sitting.
Hashtag rattle and roll, baby. All right, David is sitting down, so now I can tell him the big news. Out of Ghostbusters land.
Oh my gosh.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Bill Murray? Nah, bigger.
Bigger than Murray.
Bigger. Annie Potts. Annie Potts is bringing it. She's all but confirmed to come back to Ghost Story. Or Ghostbusters, I mean.
Ghost Story. Wow.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Yeah.
She's one of these actresses who, like, she's in a lot of movies you don't remember. But every time she sort of appears, you're like, oh, cool, I love her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's great. And and of course, everybody loved her in Ghostbusters.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
No news of bringing in a crossover with the other Ghostbusters. And
no news on Rick Moranis.
Oh, that's the big news that I want. I want to know who broke their foot and if Rick Moranis is back.
Rick Moranis is back.
That's all I really care about.
What do we know? Can you remind me? What do we know about this new Ghostbusters? Do we have a date or is it still just talky talk?
No, it's beyond talky talk.
Okay.
They're like getting ready to film, I think.
Okay.
But it's a sequel.
I love when the news is Annie Potts is all but confirmed.
That means she's in.
She's in.
They're just hyping it. Or she has a really tiny role or something.
Right.
Yeah. No, this is a sequel, and it's going to have the returning cast plus new kid characters, I think. I don't know much more past that.
Okay.
Yeah. So, speaking of...
Have we lifted our embargo on Bond news?
I feel like it was only a one-week embargo.
It was at a one-week? All right. So.
Which is why I can bring you the glorious news.
Oh, thank God.
That Daniel Craig will resume filming next week after recovering from a recent ankle injury. I know. I'll stop the presses and then let them start up again because we have to tell everyone about this.
I once was lost, but now I'm found. All right.
I don't even know what more to say to that. I just saw it and I was like, I can't believe this is another thing.
I got news for you.
Yeah, hit me.
What would you do if John Wick himself, Keanu Reeves.
Okay, but not John Wick.
It could go either way. What would you do That's another great Lionsgate title right there, John Wick, because we were talking earlier about Lionsgate. I mean, another example of like a great franchise that gets overlooked, but people love it. Okay.
I wanted to see that again. I need to do that.
What would you do if I told you... I have a little sidebar for you. You remember when you were a little kid and you were walking around with like your little idiot buddies?
And, I do.
Yeah. So last week, and one of them has like a dumb idea.
Last week.
And like you have this like dumb idea, and then you're like, "Hey, how much you give me? How much you give me to do this stupid thing?" Like, you know, and everyone, like, I love what little kids have. They're like, "Well, I got a frog." You know, I got a dollar I stole off my dad's nightstand. You know what I mean? I got this cool looking pebble that I found. You can have it, you know. And it's always like, "How much you give me to eat this worm?" You know, or like some incredibly dumb thing. All right, how much you give me if I told you that John Wick was going to enter the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I think I have a pebble. I stole this from my dad's dresser.
You stole a pebble from your dad's dresser. Yeah.
You got it from a friend.
He was holding it for a buddy. So the word is, Kevin, how do you say that?
Feige.
Kevin Feige has confirmed that he has spoken to Keanu Reeves about joining the Marvel Universe. I think that's awesome.
Keanu is hot right now.
He's super hot. My only fear, it's not a fear. I've nothing but good about this news. Mm-hmm. But you just, can Keanu play a role where he's not Keanu? Or has he like gotten to that point where, kind of like Bill Murray. Like, I would really struggle to see Bill Murray. Every time I see Bill Murray doing anything, I see Bill Murray. You know what I mean? Like, even while he's acting, you still know it's Bill Murray. Like, could Keanu Reeves disappear enough into a character? You know, or has he gotten to be that sort of big and personable? Like, what movie did we recently see where he had the cameo that I loved? Always Be My Maybe, which we watched on Netflix. And I think it would be cool... I think this is great news, and I hope it actually happens. And then I hope that they, like, I hope they give him enough costume and makeup so that we don't feel like we're watching a John Wick movie.
Okay, here's the thing. When I first saw this on here, I thought, didn't we hear something about this maybe? I think we talked about the possibility of it, but it wasn't, like, confirmed like this is. That for this Eternals movie that's coming out. Now... I'm still up in the air on this Eternals movie because I'm not familiar with the characters deep enough to like place anybody in it. But I saw an article that said the writer of or creator or something was totally on board with Keanu Reeves playing Moon Knight. And Moon Knight, I was like, oh, that would be the perfect, because it's a very brooding, Batman-ish kind of character that deals with mental illness. Does he have powers, or does he just have split personalities?
Right.
Like, that's kind of thing going on there. I think that would be awesome because it's a semi-silent character too. And here's the thing with Keanu, he's amazing. He's more amazing the less he talks.
True.
So it's
true.
Like, yeah. So. Yeah, I'm, you know, give him the character that says a few like really cool things and leave him at that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, more Kevin Feige news. He stated that Spider-Man/Venom team up movie seems likely, but it's probably up to Sony to do it. I don't know if this is a Spider-Man/the Venom that we have now movie or just a Venom story. My thing is, I don't want anything to do with the Venom movie crossing over into my Marvel pureness.
Wow.
I don't need that junk up in here. You know, keep it pure. Keep it pure. That's what I'm saying.
That's what we always think of when we think of David Moulton. Purity.
don't cross the streams, you know?
Wow. So, okay. Really?
Yeah. I don't... I don't want them. I either want a new Venom story, or I want it not connected, or I don't want a Venom story.
So you don't want Tom Hardy in a Marvel Spider-Man?
Well, if he's not playing Venom, sure.
Oh my god.
The actor's fine.
You really didn't like Venom that bad.
I did not like Venom. Do you remember the part where Venom made out with Eddie Brock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awful.
Yeah. I know. Or how about the ending where two Venom characters fought each other, but you couldn't tell who was who because they were exactly the same?
You didn't care for that.
See, here's one of your saving graces. Your inability to remember the movie.
Amy holds all my grudges for me.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, that's one of my, like, weaknesses. Like, people, like, wrong me, and then I can't remember it. So I see him, like, 3 years later. I'm like, hey, what's up? And Amy, like, elbows me, like, no, remember, we don't like them.
We're bad. Yeah, well, she's got, well, I'll be your movie.
Okay. No, because I have to say, like, I remember watching Venom and I remember liking it.
Yeah, I do remember you saying that you were okay with it.
Yeah, but I get a kick out of how much you dislike it.
I really didn't.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue with your points, you know, because both of those things that you brought up both did suck. But I don't know. I was entertained and amused. And part of it is I just love Tom Hardy. Like, I could just watch him.
Yeah, he was fine as Eddie Brock. Yeah. Even, like, the dialogue back and forth was kind of a cool thing, but just the...
Yeah.
Anyway.
You think that was more of a problem with the director? Or, like, where do you place the blame for the Venom mess?
With Sony. I blame it with Sony wanting to have... They quote-unquote own Spider-Man, and they've loaned him off to Marvel or whatever.
Right.
And Marvel's making all the money, and they're like, but we still want to make the money. So... Let's take all of these things that we could just be like, Marvel, do all the work, and we'll just reap the benefits from, and here are all the characters, just give us lots of money. But instead, they're like, here's Spider-Man, all of his iconic villains that have 110% to do with Spider-Man and don't stand on their own, we're going to do standalone stuff with them and try and make the monies. I mean, they want to do a Black Cat and Silver Sable movie, and...
That's madness.
I was on board when I was on board for a slight second.
For all you listeners that can't see right now, David is visibly agitated. He does not want to get into this.
This goes back to our if Catwoman is hot, but like when they had what's her face's Black Cat. The girl who was in Rogue One. I was on board with whatever they were going to do.
But, whatever you want.
Yeah. But now...
Hey, purity strikes again. That's a bitch, ain't it? I'm reminded of the Roger Rabbit quote, "Don't hate me, I was drawn this way."
It fits. Let's move on to trailers.
Can we get out of the superhero? We have some more news.
Oh,
out of superhero land, we're going to leave Marvel behind. We're going to leave Sony behind.
Okay.
Let's talk super spies. I mean, this is not James Bond, but it's right up there. The Kingsman news. I like Kingsman. I'm a fan of that franchise. I'm excited for the recent news, which is that there's now a prequel coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called what? The King's Man.
I like that.
And it comes out in February of 2020. So I feel a little
comes out in 2020.
I feel a little bit stupid because I feel like I shouldn't. This is news to me. Like, literally the first time I've heard discussion of a Kingsman prequel. And it opens in, what, 6 months?
Yeah.
Or 8 months. But still, pretty quick.
That's fast.
I feel like maybe I missed something.
But who's going to be in it?
Do we know?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Listeners, since I love you so much, I'm going to check this out. I'm going to get back to you.
Report back next week.
Yeah, next week I'll come back to you with a full Kingsman report.
All right. I can't wait.
Yeah. Sit tight.
I can't wait. Other big news. Last week it was Asana in here. This week I think we're literally in the North Arctic.
Luckily I have my shawl on. David's over there with mittens. All right, trailers.
Trailers.
Now, you made a comment, a little testy comment, before the show about how it was a poor week for trailers.
What I meant was there weren't a lot of them.
There weren't a lot of them, but I did want to point out there's a new Trolls trailer. And any week with a new Trolls trailer is a good week.
Is it?
Is it, though? I don't think so.
I noticed JT doesn't seem to be back for this one.
Who?
Exactly.
Is he just chilling, like off, like, counting his money? Or, like, he's been out of the news for a while.
I know.
Justin Timberlake.
I know. I don't. Maybe he's producing music.
Yeah. You heard no, of it. I'm a fan of his. I'd be interested to see what he's doing and look forward to having him sort of back in the spotlight, because I feel like he's the kind of hardworking. He's got a good work ethic, and you know, he's a true artist. And I feel like he's going to be back in the news with some project,
right?
And I bet you it's going to be good.
There was a split second where he could sell me on stuff, where he was like, "Oh, he's in this movie. I'll go see it."
What do you mean, split second?
Well, allow me to elaborate.
Please.
He was in this movie, and I was like, I mean, I'll see it just because Timberlake's in it. And then I went and saw it, and it was that, like, time movie or whatever, where they had, like, the watches.
Yeah. I loved that movie.
Did you?
Who was the girl in it?
I don't remember.
She was great, and he was great. I liked that movie a lot.
Did you?
Yeah.
Can you remember what the name of it was?
No.
So you didn't love it that much.
It had the name Time.
Yeah.
And you know, David.
Out of Time, or you know, Too Much Time, David, or Timberlake Time.
You know, I'm always telling you, trying to remind you.
Yeah.
We only have so many minutes in each day. This entire movie was about...
it's your whole life.
It hasn't changed since last week. We still have only a certain amount of minutes in each day. I keep waiting, like, they're gonna announce, you know, like, oh, now you have more minutes.
And all this movie is about is your time running out.
Right. Yeah, the whole movie.
Oh my word! I should have known it was like your.
I think you should give this movie another chance.
I don't have enough minutes in my day. Walked into that
touché,
one.
Touche. I walked right into that one. You're right. And you made the walking motion. I feel bad for our listeners that they can't see you during the podcast.
Struggling over here.
Oh, my God. Okay. So I think you should give – I think it was called About Time.
And
I
That's think he, it was About Time.
Yeah. And I think you should give it another look, knowing – looking at it with the consideration of the only commodity that actually matters is time. Mm-hmm. The only thing that any of us deal with that has any significance whatsoever is time. And the only decisions that we make that matter are how we choose to spend our time. Do we spend our time with loved ones? Do we spend our time chasing money? Do we spend our time watching Trolls trailers?
This reminds me of The Lobster.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right.
Yeah, except better.
Whoa!
All right, About Time. Give it another chance.
Give it another chance.
Give it another chance.
Let's talk about this Trolls trailer.
All right, I have something to say about this trailer.
Yeah.
So, dear listener, what's my line for my one for the listener? I love you so much. The one listener.
The one listener. Right.
The rest of you, whatever. But there's one listener who I will not identify. Hmm. But out of my commitment to you, I watched this trailer. And as I'm watching this trailer, I realized something. The movie is called Trolls World Tour. There's a franchise called Trolls. Just in case someone out there is.
By franchise, you mean one movie.
I think it qualifies as a franchise because the line of toys is so, you know, prevalent.
Right.
You know, ubiquitous with a kid. If you have a little kid in your house, you probably have some Trolls doll.
I had Trolls.
Yeah. Everybody did. And so anyway, this new movie is called Trolls World Tour. And I'm going to tell you the plot. And then you tell me if it reminds you of any movies that we've seen this year. Okay? So the bad guy who wants to destroy. So the trolls are made up of six strings, each representing a different type of music: classic, funk, pop, country, and rock. And the bad guy wants to collect each six strings.
And love. You forgot. One of them was legit just love, because there's love. Six. You just gave us five.
Okay. And yeah. Love. And the bad guy wants to collect the six strings to destroy the other five and have only rock. And first of all, I'm not thrilled that, because I'm a rock and roll guy, I'm not thrilled that rock is deemed is, you know, whatever. But we're past that. Here's my question. The bad guy needs to collect all six strings. And the plot is the good guys need to protect the other five strings so that the bad guy can't collect them. And if he collects them, then he will have the ability to destroy their world as they know it.
Wow.
Ring a bell?
Was the villain named Trollnos?
Yeah, so...
Wow. So I guess these guys saw Avengers, and then it's been out so long... They had time to make this movie.
The creators of Trolls were in the movie theater just 9 weeks ago, saw Endgame, and they were like, ah, there's our plot. This is perfect. I know what we're going to do. They stayed up all night writing the script and made the movie.
And Avengers is still in the theater.
In like 5 minutes. Yeah.
2020 release.
Yeah.
Just like everything. Wow.
Yeah.
So. This movie definitely looks like a movie I won't waste my time on.
Right. Me neither. Yeah. All right. Another movie that I want to talk about before we get to the good ones.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it to come out that way. That sounded bad.
That's good ones.
That's not what I meant. I'm saving the best for last.
Okay.
Right. You know, yeah. We're both agreed on which was the best of the week.
Oh, I think 100%. We have trailer of the week for sure.
We're saving that best for last. Mm-hmm. The next one I want to talk about, I really want to see, but I'm going to have to see it at home because its release date was June 14th.
Oh, was it? Oh.
And I can't find anywhere. Like, I feel like it maybe was a home video.
I couldn't tell.
Now, here's the thing. Normally, I pull that off. Because we don't want to discuss, we don't do it. But right. The trailer was so good, I think it's worth talking about. Daughter of the Wolf,
mm-hmm.
with Gina Carano, who I'd never heard of her.
She looks a lot like a few years aged up.
Carla Gugino.
No, I was going to say the girl from...
Is that her name?
The girl from... She was in The Fault of Our Stars and Divergent. She's on... That HBO show now.
Anyway, this lady named Carla Carano, or I'm sorry, Gina Carano. I never heard of her before. I looked her up.
Yeah.
And her description is the face of MMA.
Right.
The woman's face of MMA. So she's some kind of MMA fighter. She made a movie called Daughter of the Wolf where her son gets kidnapped and she basically has to go kick ass. I think the plot is probably very formulaic. We've probably seen this plot 100 times.
Yeah.
But... She looks great in this. Mm-hmm. The movie looks intense. And I'm going to go home and try to figure out where it's streaming because I want to see this. Like, I want to see her kick some ass and get her son back. It looks really good. It's got a little of the who's the guy from Taken?
Liam Neeson.
It's got a little Liam Neeson. Remember that movie he made, Into the Gray?
Yeah.
It's sort of, which I love. I mean, that was such a great movie. But it's got a little bit of that flavor, a little bit of the Hannah flavor, you know, a lot of wilderness, snowy, snow-covered mountains, you know, fighting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
She jumps on top of a snowmobile to take the guy out. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying this movie's anything great, but I'm saying, like, the trailer's wicked cool, and I intend to find the movie and watch it. Daughter of the Wolf.
It's got a famous guy as the villain. What's his name? I can't remember, but he's got like a big name. It's one big name, and then he plays the villain. So let's talk about another movie that I don't know will actually be able to be seen anywhere.
Even though it has Daisy Ridley in it?
Called Skrull. Apparently this was filmed over 7 years ago. And it looks like it was filmed with an iPhone.
Are we guessing that this movie was filmed with Daisy Ridley before she was in Star Wars?
It was 100%. Filmed before Star Wars, before Daisy Ridley made any big news.
Yeah.
Before Star Wars, It's called Scrawl. Something about someone draws comic books about people killing other people, and then the actions. I don't. It looked like maybe like the people get kind of taken over by the story and then just do whatever. But it's an interesting premise. It looks horrible. At one point, there's a wolf that is clearly just a picture of a wolf next to the guy. Yeah.
I feel the exact same way. I felt like the premise was a little bit like child's play, like a little bit, you know, kind of fast. Like it was a good premise. Like,
yeah.
What if something inanimate came to life? And in this case, it was the trailer sort of prompts the question, like, what if your creations came to life? Did I tell you I recently wrote a book?
What?
It's true. I wrote a book, and I did. What's interesting about it is I did all my own illustrations.
Oh.
And my illustrations include people, like cartoon, sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of cartoon. And I kind of know each. I feel like each one has like a little bit of a personality. Mm-hmm. I have not gone so far as to develop like backgrounds and, you know, stuff like that. I'm not a professional, but but the book comes out in September. It got published. It's getting published in September.
Nice.
And I kind of felt like when I watched this trailer, I like the first thing I thought it was like, what if my guys in the book, you know, what if they came to life? That'd be pretty cool. My guys wouldn't kill anybody.
You're aware of.
They'd like sit and talk to you, you know. The one guy would be like, hey, you got any coffee in this joint or what?
That sounds like a horror movie.
I felt like you might be disappointed with this trailer.
Yeah.
So I got you a gift to try to lift your spirits.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's a Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark gift package.
Whoa!
What? It includes a Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark flashlight. A paperback version of the book Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Oh, wow!
And I was concerned that you might have to go to work and carry your lunch like in a paper bag. So I got you this Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark lunchbox.
Wow. With a scarecrow with the hole in his chest on the cover. I am touched.
David.
Thank you.
Don't ever say I never got you nothing.
I can't. Does the flashlight fit in here?
I hope so.
Oh, perfect. Now I never have to go anywhere.
Like if you run away from home in the middle of the night, you can put your flashlight in your lunchbox.
That's me running down the street.
Hang on a sec. I got to take a picture of you with this. Oh my God. Just in case you thought I was kidding, it's a legit lunchbox.
With the Scary Stories. It's like one of those tins.
I didn't want you to be sad about how bad Scrawl looked.
Thank you. I'm legit going to read this book. I think I read it as a kid, but I'm really curious to read. And it's got these really cool like water painting illustrations in it. This is really cool. Thank you. Somehow I'm able to get over this Scrawl trailer
okay.
Now.
That's great. Glad I could help you work through that.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right,
Penn, tell me about the trailer of the week.
Trailer of the week is called Ready or Not.
Yeah.
Before we start, let's just say,
normally I put the trailers on here and I'm just like, we'll wait and talk about it on recording day.
Yeah.
This was so good. I texted Penn and I was like, What's up? And then proceeded to not hear from him for the rest of the week.
I wrote him back, new phone, who dis? Ready or Not, do yourself a favor and Google the Ready or Not Red Band trailer.
Mm.
I haven't seen the Green Band trailer.
I haven't either.
But the Red Band trailer is so funny.
It's fabulous.
I can't wait for this movie. I mean, what are we excited for? I'm excited for Good Boys, super excited for Spider-Man, excited for Lion King. But Ready or Not has now jumped to the top of my list.
Here's the thing. Next month.
Yeah.
It's not that far away.
It's coming right out.
And so it starts off. And I'm like, what is this? Looks like a dumb board game movie. And then it looks like they're trying to make a horror board game movie. And then there's one little joke, and you're like, was that supposed to be a joke?
Which one?
And, well, I think they hand the guy the crossbow, and he's like, how old is this thing?
Right.
And I'm like, was that supposed to be funny? And then there's another little thing. They're like, you shot the maid.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
was she wearing a wedding dress?
Yeah. I'm like, well, this seems like kind of funny, but it still seems like it's horror. And then it's the next scene where they're like, we got to find her. And she's at the end of the hallway. And the guy's like, Founder. That's when I was like, okay, it's a comedy.
And then the sister like opens fire. You know?
I don't know what I'm doing.
And then like all hell breaks loose in the trailer, and it seems like maybe bodies are falling out of the window. But the one brother is sitting in like a window seat, right?
Yeah.
With a YouTube video says, "Welcome to get to know your crossbow." He's still trying to figure out
how to use it.
How to use a crossbow. And he's like pissed he's stuck with this.
It looks like a lot of fun.
I can't wait.
It's one of those things where I was like, there's no way I want to see this. And by the end of it, I was like, I got to see this movie as soon as possible.
This movie has the potential to be like Zombieland was.
Mm.
Which I sort of had the same reaction. Like at first I was like, oh, whatever. But then like, as we got closer and closer, I knew it was going to be good. And then I watched it and it was one of my favorite movies of the year.
Right. I just hope it plays off. I mean, it looks fabulous.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to be one of those things where you and I get real hyped for it.
Oh no, don't say it.
And it's like Booksmart.
Oh no, David.
And we're the only ones.
What's the matter with you?
I don't want to jinx it.
I got you the lunchbox.
Hold on, let me look at this book. Okay. No, this movie's going to be great. No, I think it is going to be great. I hope that it has the appeal.
No, I completely agree with you. And as I was telling the story about the brother reading or watching the YouTube video, I was thinking to myself, you just got to hope that this movie is as good as the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, and if it is, it's going to be one of the best movies of the year.
Right.
And, you know, if they put all their jokes in the trailer, then we're screwed.
Well, the only way that I'm okay with how they did that is if there's only this one trailer and they do it enough. Like, if they're smart enough to be like, this movie's good, but, like, all the best jokes can't be in the trailer, so we've got to only do one trailer.
Right.
Comes out next month, come see it, it'll be funny.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So...
All right, ready or not, Red Band trailer.
Yeah, go see it. All right, so what happened this week in the movies and the theaters?
Toy Story 4 is receiving excellent, not only critical reviews, but also audience reviews. And it grossed $118. I'm sorry, let me clarify.
$118.
$118. $1 million. I'd buy that for a dollar. It grossed $118 million, which by all standards is pretty good and more than the last Toy Story. But the problem was there were two problems. It fell short because people really hyped it up. They thought it was going to be I even read one stupid site that said it was going to be a $200 million opening, and it was trending really well. People were talking – like normal people were talking like $160, $180 million opening, and it opened to $118. So, of course, it sort of suffered from the expectations. But here's and part of that is like, okay, fair enough. But the other – I'm not at all worried about Toy Story for two reasons. First of all, kids' movies, you don't really see that with kids' movies. You don't see the Avengers type of opening or the Avatar type of opening where fanboys and all their friends and everybody's hyped up to see it and oh my God, can't wait to get out there. Families go to see movies when it's convenient for families to go see movies. And so I feel like part of it is it's a kids' movie. It did really well. It didn't do what they said it was going to do, but I'm not worried about it because everybody who saw it loved it. Everybody's talking really positive about it. And the other part of the factor, which I know it's not a sort of a huge thing, and I feel like it's a little bit of a cop-out for me to say it, but I do believe it. Like, I'm not just making this up, so I'll say it anyway. I think the weather had a big part of this because it was a gorgeous weekend after 2 or 3 weeks of sort of shitty, rainy, gray, certainly after 5 or 6 days of rainy, gray days. For the first time in a long time, we had a crystal clear, beautiful, sunny, you know, nice, beautiful weekend. Like right now, we're sitting here in my office and it's gorgeous outside. And the theaters downstairs are packed with Toy Story. But like, for example, my family's all talking about going to Long's Park and going to go to the pool and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I do think it's fair to say that weather had something to do with this performance.
I wouldn't doubt that. I also think that, like you said, some of the people who want to see this movie don't want to fight the crowds.
Yeah.
So they'll just wait.
Yeah. And if you have a younger kid, a lot of times – they have not yet learned, it hasn't been sort of normalized in their minds that you should go see a movie on opening weekends. Like, a lot of times you talk to kids, like younger kids, and they're like, do you want to see Toy Story? And they're like, yeah. But they don't live by a calendar.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they don't, they're not saying, oh, it opens on Friday. I mean, some of them are. But, you know, a lot of them are just like, yeah, I want to see Toy Story, man.
When can we go? When can we go?
Yeah. And it's, so it's whenever.
Yeah.
We're going on Wednesday. It's like, awesome. I give you the frog out of my pocket.
Well, since we're talking about Toy Story.
Toy Story 4.
Let's move straight into our review.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear your review of this.
Oh. Well, I've got pages to go over.
Dig in, brother.
All right, so I really enjoyed this movie. I liked it a lot. It's not my favorite Toy Story movie. It's not my least favorite Toy Story movie. It's just, it's good. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought the characters were really done well. It's different because it's not necessary. This one particularly, I feel, really ran home that it had more to do about the growth of the toys than, like, childhood growing up type things. Like, a lot of times, like, the stories and stuff are like an analogy for, like, our growing up and moving on. And
like, the toys are a vehicle for looking at our development.
Right.
Our life.
Yeah, and I really felt like this, although maybe you could say at the end, the growth that Woody has is could be, you know, like the next step of adulthood or whatever, and I can relate to that. But overall, the overall arcing, like, really felt like it was, I didn't feel like this is something I'm relating to as much as I felt like this is a story about characters that I like. So maybe there was a little bit of that, but I really did enjoy this movie a lot. I think it's 100% solid, great film. None of the music really stuck out to me as anything in particularly, like, spectacular. I really feel like, as good as this is, I almost would have been fine with 3 being the end, because it just felt like a perfect ending to the series. And this feels a little bit like a good ending, but it's not as good as 3 was. I don't know. That's my opinion.
Do you think this is the last one?
I would have sworn the last one was 3, so how could I say? I think going forward, it's going to be very different. I mean, but for 2 reasons. One, because of, well, spoilers for this movie, obviously, but, like, Woody's now off on his own. So either A, Woody's no longer a part of the story, or B, Woody, the story completely revolves around Woody and doesn't have the other cast.
Ah.
You know, but I would have think maybe it would go, Jesse is the lead character now for the Toy Story, and you phase out Buzz, and now you have a bunch of voice actors that can be whoever, instead of Tim Allen what's his face?
Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks.
I don't think you have a Toy Story without Tom Hanks.
Yeah?
And to a lesser degree, Tim Allen. Yeah. If there's a Toy Story 5, it's got to have Tom Hanks, in my opinion. Unless they go the superhero route and, like, legit reboot, like, almost like a spinoff.
You don't think? Because they kind of, like, gave his role to Jesse.
Right.
Who's played by whoever.
Right. So is the next movie, like, you know, called Jesse's Girl? Jesse was a good friend of mine.
Well, I mean, I do feel like they've done the whole growing up thing already, so it would make sense that if they do another one, it would follow Woody and kind of ignore the other one, since they're just kind of retreading steps with this kid.
That's what I'm saying. Like if there's a Toy Story 5, which we will never know, or we don't yet know, is
2020.
It's coming out in 2020. Toy Story, Far From Home. You'll never guess where they came up with the plot idea. I do feel like it has to continue with Woody and or Buzz Lightyear. I could easily visualize 2 scenarios. One, well, I guess I'm in a way I'm repeating what you just said, but I just feel like Tom Hanks either needs to, and I guess it depends on how the studio views Tom Hanks. I view Tom Hanks as being the beginning and the end of Toy Story. like, I feel like America, the world loves Tom Hanks, and it's all about Woody and to a lesser degree, but also Buzz Lightyear. Like, you talk to any kid, and they're all about one or both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you continue down that road with, like, a Toy Story 5 about Woody now, you know, doing whatever Woody's doing now, or a spinoff with, like, some of the other toys, but it can't be Toy Story 5, Jessie's, you know? To me, if it has the title Toy Story in it, then it's got to be about Tom Hanks.
Well, I mean, Buzz Lightyear is barely in this movie. Any of the other toys are barely in it.
Yeah.
And that was kind of crazy. I was like, I was thinking about it. It's crazy how little these other characters you would have thought. Like Tim Allen was probably in the studio for like half a day.
Right.
I mean, 25 minutes to record his lines, you know?
Well, he only has so many minutes.
It's about time.
Right. It's about time.
That said, I mean, I really, there are a lot of things I really liked about this movie. The story about, like, personal growth of growing up and letting go and, like, making, at the end, I feel like the story is about, you know, you make sacrifices for other people, but at the same time, like, eventually you have to make the sacrifice for yourself. I think that's kind of what they were saying. I can correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I don't know.
But you know, because he decided to go with Bo.
Right.
But I did like how, in a lot of them, the villains kind of get their comeuppance or whatever. But in this one, all the villain wanted was to be loved. And she didn't even want to kill or hurt anyone. She just wanted something Woody had so that she could have a chance. And when she missed her chance, she was like, you can have it back. Like, and then they kind of turned around to helping the villain. And she turned out to not be a fully evil person, just kind of like had been so focused on herself for so long, she lost track of what was going on. So I don't know. I really enjoyed this movie. I don't think there needs to be any more. But if there is, I'll probably see it.
No, I'll definitely see it if there's another one.
A lot of people I talked to on Friday, a lot of like grandparents and parents who were like more pumped for this than the kids.
Yeah.
Like, I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like one lady was like, I'm going. My kids grew up on this and I'm going. They're like adults now. I don't care. Yeah. I'm going. So I think that's kind of speaks a lot for the franchise.
So let me ask you this. 100 years from now, somebody writes a book about movies in the early, 20th century or no, 21st century.
21st.
So somebody writes a book about movies in the early 21st century. Mm-hmm. Does Toy Story make that book? Is Toy Story mentioned in that book?
Toy Story 4?
No, Toy Story the franchise.
Well, Toy Story the franchise is probably mentioned in the 20th century. Book. See how I got you there?
Oh,
because we went into a movie.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I definitely think that Toy Story is maybe not the first one, 110%.
Really?
Yeah. First, Toy Story was phenomenal, like groundbreaking animation.
Yeah.
Like
Pixar. It sort of defined, in a way, Pixar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's one of their, wasn't their first, but it was early. Was it their first?
I think it was.
Let me put it this way.
It was their first big motion picture.
You have to talk about Pixar. Like, I'm trying to, like, in my mind, work out whether or not there's a historical context. And I think the historical element here is Pixar.
Yeah.
And you can't talk about Pixar without talking about Toy Story.
Right.
So there's the connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think definitely it's in the books as a history thing. And then if not Toy Story, if the 21st century book, they're probably talking about how Disney acquired Pixar.
Oh, yeah. That's probably true.
You know? So, yeah. So.
Trolls. You think Trolls is in that book? not so much.
Not so much. under Endgame. Comic copies.
I'm going to try this. I don't really know enough about it to know if I can get away with it.
Oh, no.
But I'm going to go on the Endgame Wikipedia page and try to add, like, you know how it says see also at the bottom or like external references? I'm going to try to add a link to Trolls World Tour.
See also Trolls World Tour.
Yes.
Do that, screenshot it.
Or maybe I'll go to the Trolls World Tour page
and
add an see also Avengers Endgame.
That seems better, yeah. Wow. So tell me some of your, like, your points on this movie. Anything that we didn't cover?
No, I'm good.
Okay. So we're totally on board.
Yeah.
Definitely go see this. If you haven't seen this movie, go see it. You know what? Call up mom. Call up pops.
Yeah.
Like, remember when I was a kid? Let's go see this. Let's go see this movie. I'll cry through the whole thing just to loudly. Best favorite thing in the movie and see if it connects.
Okay.
Favorite part of the movie. Go. I can't believe you just BS'd through that whole thing. I just held up the sign and says, I didn't see it. When I left the theater last night, LOL Jamie was like, so when's Penn going to see this? And it's like, oh, I'm assuming you already saw it. He had a race today. Yeah, yeah. You didn't see it.
I didn't bullshit anything, David. All I did was nod and have a conversation with you.
I should have known when I was like, isn't that what they were kind of getting at the end? And you were like, I don't know.
You said, do you have anything to add? And I was like, no.
Oh my God. I can't believe that. Well,
surprise!
He's not just forgetting it. Like, it's not. It hasn't been enough time for him to have forgotten that he saw it.
I was debating all day. Like, what do I tell? I was thinking, like, should I text David and see if we should reschedule the podcast recording so that I have time to see it? And then I was like, well, no, I'll tell him. Like, it's no big deal. And then I was thinking, no, it would be funnier.
Definitely funnier.
Because you know what I'm all about? I'm all about what, in any given scenario, I always think about what's the funniest way to handle this.
It explains why earlier you're like, when can you record? And I was like, oh, anytime. And there was like a long blank. And I was like, why don't we do 2:30? You were just waiting to see.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Ducky and Bear have the best parts of the movie.
I can't wait.
You're going to laugh.
I can't wait.
Good.
My nephew had a big birthday party here at Penn Cinema.
Yeah?
Shout out to Cam. Love that kid.
Yeah.
Cam had a big birthday party down in Theater 7, watched Toy Story 4. And of course, I was central in helping to schedule it.
Yeah.
And it was on the same day as my race. And, you know, traveling out of town and all that kind of stuff, I really, like, there was truly no opportunity when I, you know, and not being at work on Friday made my Thursday crazy. So even, you know, I could have watched it early, but I couldn't because I was catching up on stuff to be ready to leave on Friday. So, yeah. But I am on board with this movie. I do love the franchise, and I'm definitely going to see it.
Next week, you don't have to have a report.
All right. Next week, we'll have a double review.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's get into listener notes. Joel Cornett hit us up. He said he watched The Meg. And he agrees.
I love this guy.
It's slock, but he loves it. He's like isn't that, he laughed, and isn't schlock. That the point? Yeah. So he's totally on board with
did
that.
Did he say schlock or did you say
I
schlock?
I said schlock. Yeah, I'm just abbreviating his writing. But he had a recommendation for
yes.
us. He said, we got to watch Bad Omens. That it's good. Did you start this yet?
David, listen, Joel's my man. I love this guy.
Clearly.
He's great.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to, like, whatever, because I know, like, whatever. I started Bad Omens twice.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I was watching it and I started flipping around, like scrolling around for something else to watch. Like, what's your opinion on this?
I haven't started.
You haven't started. Like, yeah. I like both of those guys.
Uh-huh.
I like the premise.
Mm-hmm.
This might just be one of those things where the timing, because I guess I wasn't like really settled in to watch TV. It was like I was home and I made a sandwich for lunch, and you know, but I'm still thinking about my day and I'm still answering
right.
you know, emails on my phone while I'm right. eating my sandwich and Good Omens is on TV, and I just
noticed there wasn't a sandwich in the lunchbox.
Right. He's never happy. It's never enough. He wants me to watch the movies I say I'm gonna watch. He wants a sandwich in his lunchbox.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember, you know who one of my favorite guys in the world is Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Right? Do you remember his character when he was like, so maybe I don't, and then he has heavy use of air quotes, so you have to bear with me, but he's like, maybe I don't brush my teeth. Maybe I don't go to the bathroom every day. Maybe I don't shower. So, I'm going to give Bad Omens another shot on Joel's recommendation, but okay. I could not quite.
Here's the thing. Are you going to sign the petition
Ooh.
To remove Bad Omens from Netflix?
Why are we removing it from Netflix?
This movie has to do with religion and some religious group.
Oh, Christ.
Petition. Put a petition out to have it removed from Netflix and taken off.
Yeah.
Do you understand the problem with that? It's an Amazon show.
That's great. That's beautiful. So Netflix should be like, we have agreed. Yeah, you know, we fully endorse. You know, fine, we'll take it down.
Yeah, that's what they got. Yeah, that's funny.
So, that's great. It's like complaining to Disney about Batman.
You're right. Right. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pirate Dave, our boy, he hit us
up. He never fails to. This guy, he's a wealth of knowledge.
He is. He says we were talking about Dr. Sleep last.
Yeah, the Shining sequel that may or may not be a sequel.
Right, and he says that Stephen King hated Kubrick's version of The Shining, and I think that I had said that something along those lines, but he got it down. He
clarified hated, it.
Yeah, and. That he was also going on about how crazy this was, that it was a Shining sequel, and that the only actual footage that they're reusing is the blood of the elevator scene. So that's pretty interesting. But the other thing is he came out of your corner and he said, yo, you got to watch She's Out of My League, which I didn't get a chance to watch, but...
Okay. Okay, David.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. But I saw the movie we had to come see, and I even came out and was like, I know it's busy, but are there any tickets for this movie? I have to see it for the podcast. I'm sorry.
Pot meet the kettle. Kettle meet the pot. Just going to say that.
All right.
Fine. She's Out of My League is one of not only my favorites, but I think I can go out on a limb. And if there are any Penn Cinema alumni listening.
Podcast at PennCinema.com. Hadn't said it yet.
If there are any Penn Cinema alumni besides Dave listening, back me up. Did we not love this? When this movie came out, the Penn Cinema staff, we loved it. We all watched it. And Dave remembers the same thing I remember, which is all of us standing in the hallway after. And for like weeks and... For some of us, months, and for some of us, still.
Still.
Every time somebody asks us to do something, like, be like, hey, the popper needs, you know, whatever. And before they could even finish the sentence, the other guy would go, done and done. Which, that line is delivered so perfectly, and it speaks to so much of, like, what friendship is all about. Like, you know, it reminds me of, do you remember that movie, The Town?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and there's that scene where... Matt Damon goes, I think it's Matt Damon, might not be, but he goes in to see Ben Affleck's character and he's like, we got to do some bad things and, you know, it's going to be ugly or whatever like that. Ben Affleck asks no questions, does not need any kind of justification or rationale or nothing. His only reply is, who's driving? like it's. I saw a t-shirt recently at a race and it said, that sounds like a horrible idea. What time? And that's what this line is like when at the end of the movie, it's not the end, but you know, towards the end of the movie, they radio to the one guy to stop this plane and he goes, done and done. And then he pulls out this like 3-foot wrench. Yeah. So yeah, She's Out of My League is I think we can officially say a Penn Cinema favorite.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So do we need to make a call out this week?
Yeah. I'm worried about the mystery gobble.
We didn't hear from him. At all this week.
No.
And I'm wondering if, I mean, you called him out on being the best dad ever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't call him out. I just stated a fact. I believe father of the year, best dad of all time.
So my question is he in hiding? Because you put it out there. Are other dads out to get him?
Oh, that could be.
Eliminate competition?
That could be.
Do you think? I think that might be the thing. He just was like, I got to lay low till the heat kind of dies off.
Yeah. I got to show you something, though, real quick.
Okay.
Oh, it's It's not labeled. Oh. But I got this Father of the Year trophy.
Whoa!
That Marley bought me at Kissel Hill Elementary.
Nice.
I think it was, this is 06, 05, something in that ballpark. And it's great because it's a bobblehead dad fisherman.
Right.
So you got to figure Marley's like 6 or 7 years old, right? And Kissel Hill used to have this gift buying program where they could like kids could come in and buy a gift for their parents. And the idea is kids that age like don't really have the money or the means or the access to buy their parents like a special gift. So she picks me out this bobblehead and it's beautiful. I still have it on my desk. I mean,
right. It's right here.
It's right here. But the problem is, like, I've never gone fishing. Who the hell goes fishing? Like, why would you want to have a fish in your boat on purpose? Like, why would you want to be on a boat, period?
But it's got a bobblehead.
It's got a bobblehead, and I tell you, I've been making fun, like, making the fisherman joke for years and years and years. And what I just now noticed is probably why she bought it is because the dad is also holding a cup of coffee, which
something
is
you drink
pretty much like an appendage. Like, I pretty much always have a mug in my hand. And so shout out to Marley Bear. Love this kid. Love this gift that she gave me at least 12 years ago.
Wow.
And I still have it on my desk. It's one of my most cherished possessions.
You said it doesn't have the label on it anymore. Is that because this was a pre-Mystery Gobble reign of terror?
Right. Like,
before he took over?
Right. When he took the crown, they came and they made me give the sticker back.
Ripped it off.
Right.
All right. What have you been up to this week outside of movies?
Well,
and racing more than I drive in a day.
Right. Little Kayla and I.
Yeah.
We're doing the John Hughes summer.
Yeah.
Right. But we took a little side trip this weekend, and we watched a movie that Kayla did describe as a horror movie. She woke up the next day.
I'm looking here. Is it the TED Talk?
She woke up the next day and told me she couldn't sleep because she was having bad dreams because of that horror movie that I made her watch. The horror movie that she is referencing, dear listeners, is the Adam Sandler movie Murder Mystery, which, just for point of reference, is 100% a romantic comedy.
Now, was it a horror movie because it was an Adam Sandler film?
Right. All right. Kayla and I watched Murder Mystery, which neither one of us really cared for. She did not like it because some people get shot and some people get killed, and she does not like that. I did not like it because, first of all, I thought Adam Sandler sucked. And even though Jennifer Aniston is one of my favorites, she was kind of like whatever. And I just thought the movie was weak. Like, right. I didn't see what the fuss was about because everybody, right? I mean, are you aware of this?
I'm aware of the movie.
I feel like everybody was raving, like, oh, this is the most downloaded Netflix movie ever, blah, blah, blah. And trust me, don't waste your time. Go watch more of The Office. Like, I would rather you go rewatch Arrested Development than waste your time with Murder Mystery. Or better yet, She's Out of My League. Do that.
There you go.
So we wasted our time with Murder Mystery. Looking forward to returning to the John Hughes world next week.
Did you make Arrested Development progress?
Yeah, continuing to crank through that. I also watched two really interesting rock and roll documentaries, one about John Lennon, one about Bob Dylan. The John Lennon one is Above Us Only Sky.
Okay.
Which is, I mean, I don't really have much to say about it, except that it's really good. It's interesting. It's mostly the time period when he was recording Imagine. I feel like I know a lot about John Lennon. Like, I feel like I'm pretty knowledgeable on that era. I've watched a lot, read a lot, learned a lot. But I watched Above Us Only Sky and opened my eyes even more to what was going on in that era.
Wow.
And in general, especially his relationship with Yoko. Also watched Rolling Thunder Review about Bob Dylan, which was kind of interesting. That's the perfect word for it, is interesting. It wasn't like earth-shattering or eye-opening or fascinating or whatever. It was like interesting. If you like Bob Dylan, watch it because it's interesting. If you don't like Bob Dylan, don't watch it.
Okay.
And then lastly, I just wanted to mention, because this is a little bit new for me.
Oh.
You know, now that I'm a big shot podcaster.
Biggest shot podcaster. Biggest.
Of all the Penn Cinema podcasts, we are the number one. the world's greatest Pen Cinema podcast. And so I've taken to listening to more podcasts, and Amy and I listened to a really interesting one on the ride home from Massachusetts this weekend. It was Elizabeth Gilbert and her TED Talk, and it was just – I don't want to waste your time getting into it, but I'll just say if you're the type who likes to sort of – I felt like it was a really interesting take on creativity and how – her point was, in olden day, like historic days, creativity and ideas, the genius, the idolization was of the idea and the creativity. And the human who happened to express that was like the vehicle for that. Mm. Whereas nowadays, it has to be like, oh, David Moulton's a genius.
Which is true, too.
Which is also true. So I guess that was a bad example. But
Anne Hathaway has to see something.
Right. I thought it was due to your rugged good looks.
A little bit of both.
So, I mean, whatever. She's a little out there, and it was a little touchy-feely, but I just thought it was a really interesting take on creativity. So Elizabeth Gilbert.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Well, after your talk of it, and after I mentioned to the person I was trying to get to watch it that we were talking about it, got them to watch it, so now I'm watching Arrested Development.
Nice. Again. Starting over like season, like episode one?
Episode one.
Yeah, nice.
Yep.
Did they burn down the banana shack yet?
Well, for me, yeah. I watched the first two episodes this week. I love that show so much. Mm. And then I started reading The Boys. I'm not very far into it. And that's the comic that's based, or the show The Boys coming out on Amazon's based off of. It's an interesting premise. Imagine that superhero and superpowered people, like the populace becomes, there's just a ton of them. It's like, kind of like Watchmen, like who watches the Watchmen type of thing.
Yeah.
And these are a bunch of non-superhero people that clean up the messes of the heroes. And it's interesting because it's like the opening thing is like a guy and a girl are like, she says that she loves him and he's like, oh, I love you too. And they're just holding hands. And then the next thing you know is he's just holding her arms because two super speed guys were fighting and one guy got knocked and flew past and just like moved so fast, just took her body away.
Oh.
And like,
yeah.
And that's just like the world that they live in of these like unregulated superheroes. Yeah. And So anyway, it's kind of needlessly gory. So I don't know if I'm really going to continue too far into it, but, it's an interesting
sounds process. Perfect for Kayla.
Yeah, it's definitely a Kayla book. Perfect for her.
Made me watch this horror movie.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah, that's about it this week. Just been kind of a busy week.
Big week next week. One of the movies that I think is quietly going to become, has the potential, let's put it that way, of being one of the biggest summer sleepers. Yesterday.
Yeah, oh man, I'm really pumped for this.
I hear people talking about this.
Yeah, it's one of those things that like continues to look solid to me, even with all the like promo stuff.
Right.
So I'm pumped.
Me too.
So that's what we'll talk about next week. We'll talk about Yesterday, and then week after that, we got Spider-Man coming up. So get hyped.
Slinging the webs.
Yeah. Oh, you know, two things to follow up on listener thoughts. One, I ran into Mr. Manager Joel yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he told me that there's an official thing on his record that he has to see a movie every 3 months now. He's like, was that you? Did you do this to me?
On his permanent file.
Permanent file. Yeah. So we were laughing about that. And then Chris Hall Productions. He's like, after last week, he's like, well, I don't write in because you guys make fun of me.
So now we're going to make fun of him for not writing in.
For not writing in. And then he sent me a photo. He's taking photos of himself with like the standees.
Oh, nice.
Stuber, and he's so proud of himself.
Yeah.
Look at this photo.
Rightly so.
Yeah. And I'm like, send it to the podcast. We'll share it. So let me just put this call out to anyone listening. Podcast at PennCinema.com. You get some Standees photos. We'll put them up on the Facebook page.
Just
shoot them an email.
Write us from Huntington Valley.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on down there?
Yeah.
What's the latest?
Do we need to like scoot down there?
How's those fresh-baked pizzas rocking?
Fresh-baked pizza.
I'm going to be down in Huntington Valley on July 2nd. I'm really excited. We have some friends coming, some visitors coming. Oh, so shout out to them. That'll be fun.
That's the only theater that you and I have not been in at the same place at the same time.
Right.
That's crazy.
So we need to set that up. We need to go down to Huntington Valley.
All right, cool. All right, so we'll see you all next week. So once again, for the show, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.